Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Hello, everyone, and welcome to part three of a presentation that Dr. Jennings gave to a large group of students at Southern Adventist University in Collegedale, Tennessee, back in 2007. His topic, sexual abuse. So far in this series, we've seen the terrible scope of this problem and examined some of the incredible damage it can do to those who are victim and to the perpetrators. On today's broadcast, we examine what true love really is and how we can all have hope in spite of our pain. Again, let me remind you that this program is intended for mature audiences only. So, let's join Dr. Jennings as he concludes his lecture on sexual abuse.
Sin reacts upon the sinner, changes the sinner, disforms, damages the person who did the wrong. And when the time is right in session, and you can't ask this question I'm about to put to you at the beginning of a session with a patient, you have to build that rapport. But when the time is right, I'll ask this question. Who do you think got hurt or injured or damaged more, you or the person who abused you? And I ask him this question. If God took you to heaven right now and gave you one choice, your choice is this. You can have your life exactly as it has been. Not one change. Everything that has happened, and you are exactly who you are as you are. Or I will allow you to switch places and you get to live the life of the abuser and he gets your life. You get to go around abusing children, but no one will abuse you. Whose life will you choose? 100% of my patients choose their own life. And at that moment, the light goes on and they realize, wow, when I got abused, my body got hurt. My psychology, my emotions got hurt. But my conscience remained clear. My soul was undefiled. My character was unsullied. You see, when we injure and hurt somebody else, something much more precious gets damaged in us. And people who abuse others damage those faculties that are sensitive to the movements of the Spirit of God, hardening the heart, searing the conscience, warping the reason, warping the character, and over time become, as Peter says, brute beasts, creatures of instinct. We must help our patients learn how to forgive. Patients who have been in abusive environments often grow up with dependency issues in relationships. Dependency relationships are counterfeits to love relationships. Dependency relationships are the relationships in which you pursue a relationship in order to get some personal need met, in order to be valued, in order to be appreciated, in order to have emptiness in one's heart taken away, in order to be filled with adoration and affirmation. We seek the relationship in order to make us whole. This is a dependency relationship. These are unhealthy and destructive relationships. Love relationships are based on God's principle of love. Love is not self-seeking. Love is other-seeking. Love relationships when we have two healthy people who care about each other and want to give of themselves to build the other person up. And you seek that relationship because you found somebody you want to pour yourself out to. You want to serve. You want to build up. You want to give. Not take from. Not suck from. Not drain down their resources to make you feel better. Many people who have been abused are in dependency relationships. In my book, I do some tests that you can test the relationship you're in. I'll just run a couple by you real quick. Love is fearless, where dependency is fearful. What do I mean? If you're in a relationship where you're always afraid, will he like me? Will she like me? Will she be mad? Will she think I'm ugly? Will she? If there's always this fear, there's always this worry, always this dread that maybe they'll find somebody else instead of you, love is lacking. Dependency is strong. Love is healing. Dependency is destructive. If you're in a relationship in which over time you're being torn down, that you're being more insecure, you're being more fear-ridden, your ability to think and reason for yourself, your confidence in yourself, your self-esteem is falling over time in this relationship, this is not a love relationship. Love relationships heal. Love always heals, always restores, always builds up. And in a love relationship over the time, you become more confident. Your self-esteem rises. Your ability to think and reason, your autonomy grows in a love relationship. One more example. Love is freeing. Dependency is controlling. If you're in a relationship where you constantly feel pressure from your partner to do, to conform, to behave, or else there's a retaliation, or else there's some type of recompense coming upon you, criticism, hostility, pouting, whatever it might be, love is lacking in this relationship. Love is freeing. Dependency is controlling. And people who have been in abuse situations have conditioned responses. Remember Pavlov's dogs? Pavlov put the food out, rang the bell, and the dogs began to salivate. And then he would ring the bell without the food, and they salivated. People who have been sexually traumatized often have associated those feelings of disgust, those feelings of ugliness, those feelings of revulsion with sex. And so when they get married and go into a marriage relationship and their partner approaches them in love, they get disgusted, they get reviled, they get grossed out. They don't want anything to do with it. Why? Because they have a conditioned response. We must help them see the conditioned response. We must help them use the prefrontal cortex to decondition this experience, to realize what they're really disgusted with is the control, is the powerlessness, is the helplessness, is the exploitation, is the domination. They're not disgusted with a loving giving of oneself as God designed a marriage partnership to do. And people who have been abused are fearful and fear-ridden. Fear of getting help, believing they can handle it on their own, fear of being seen as crazy, and often avoid seeking professional help. Let me ask you a question. If you broke your leg, would you try to set it on your own? If you had cancer, would you try to treat it on your own? If you were vomiting blood, would you try to treat it on your own? Even if the water heater in your apartment broke and it was flooding your apartment, would you just simply pray to God to get it fixed? Or would you call a plumber? What do you think is more complicated, a broken leg and a broken water heater, or your mind and brain? Why do we insist on simply praying in the privacy of our home for help without seeking somebody who knows how to help? What would take more maturity, to deny you have a problem or to admit where your abilities are limited and seek help from somebody who knows more than you? Which is more mature? Which is more courageous? Which is more wise? Seeking help is not a sign of being crazy. Seeking help is not a sign of immaturity. It's a sign of maturity, a sign of wisdom. If you've been abused, or if you know somebody who has been abused, offer hope. Tell them, and I want to tell you, that no matter what you've been through, you can experience healing, regeneration, restoration. But pain is likely to occur in the process. If your leg has been broken and you went to physical therapy, that physical therapy would be painful but helpful. So too with seeing a therapist. It might not be comfortable, but it's good for you. Get professional help. Address the false beliefs with the truth. Bring the truth about God to bear and restore their friendship with God. Avoid those things which are harmful and reassure people of a healing, loving relationship with God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us. We have been damaged. We have all experienced exploitation. Some have experienced abuse of a very personal nature, of a very private nature. Some are afraid and insecure to seek help. Lord, I pray your Spirit will come, your angels will come, minister to these people. Help them find the proper resources that will bring healing, will bring your truth to bear to their hearts and minds. We know that you love us, Lord. We know you want to restore your image within us. Bring us the peace, bring us the wisdom, and bring us the courage we need to move forward in your plan for our life. We pray in your holy name. Amen.
And this concludes our three-part series on sexual abuse from a presentation that Dr. Jennings made to a group of students at Southern Adventist University in 2007. The beautiful song at the end was performed by the Heritage Singers, a true classic of a song, "Tears Are a Language God Understands." I sincerely hope that you have been blessed by what you heard here on this program. And if you'd like to hear it again or share it with some other people that you know might benefit from the words that Dr. Jennings said, I invite you to comeandreason.com. Simply go to the podcast section and look for sexual abuse. There are three parts to this series, and you can listen to them again or play them for a friend or a family member. And until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.